New Orleans. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. There are few musical acts as 21st century as Sylvan Esso. Members Nick Sanborn and Amelia Meath are millennial and post-millennial. They play electronic pop music using the most modern and portable equipment. Sylvan Esso are so computer savvy that they are musicians who almost never touch a traditional musical instrument. But theirs is an old-fashioned story of singer meets producer. Singer challenges producer to remix her song, and the two run off together on the adventure of a lifetime.
I actually gave the song to a bunch of different people to remix at that time.
But only one of them's in this room right now.
Sylvan Esso, after the break. Not everyone knows what the phrase Sylvan Esso means, but more and more, people know how Sylvan Esso sounds.
Who's gonna write a song for you? Gonna sing it out loud. Sing it in such decibels that all you hear is sound. All you feel is sound. All you hear is sound.
Amelia Meath and Nick Sanborn are the duo who've been performing as Sylvan Esso since 2013. Their style of music is electronica, a genre that puts most people in mind of the future. But the songwriting seems timeless. It's thoughtful, wise, playful, romantic.
Wrap me in your arms. I can't feel it, but rock me in your arms. I can't feel it, but
dressed up or stripped down, the songs are easy to dance to and even easier to dig into.
Get up, get down. Get up, get down. Get up. Sentiments seem to perfectly change.
Meath and Sanborn set forth from North Carolina with a variety of machines and the kind of pluck that conjures images of a modern-day Wendy and Peter Pan. Only this time with tall sneakers, a computer, and a killer keyboard.
Give me a new single, make me a new baby. Gonna eat all the candy while you straddle and lay me. Gonna know all the words before you come on top. Then I sing them back at you while you try to nail. What a wild ride, so we're so happy to be listening to our radio. Our savior, what a wild melts on down. We're so happy to be listening to our radio. Now break it on down slow. Dance for the camera, dance for the shutterbug, dance for your mama, dance with a kid.
Sylvan Esso have toured the world, starred in their own NPR Tiny Desk concert, appeared on television with the Jimmys, Fallon and Kimmel, and also with Chris Thiele on American Public Media's Live From Here in New Orleans. Now, they join us at Marini Studios. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Well, thanks for having us.
You guys are just great. Just great. Oh, boy.
So, now, Amelia Meath and Nick Sanborn, you grew up in New England and the Midwest, respectively.
True.
Is that correct? And yet, as musicians, you appear to have been reborn in a way in North Carolina. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that, I think that for me, moving there was a big step forward just in my life in general. I kind of feel like I just came into my own when I made the decision to go there.
When did
you
do that?
And that place helped me do that.
2012.
Yeah, so 5 or 6 years ago.
And I moved in the same time. And honestly, I think the thing that helped me find the time and space to write Sylvan Esso songs is the pacing of the South. So in some ways, yes, I suppose that is correct in that I was able to take more time for writing and less time for drinking.
Also, it's just the people that are there are so wonderful. Almost all the bands that are there are touring and working, which is kind of rare, especially for a city of that size.
Is this Durham?
In Durham, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about who you were artistically before you reached North Carolina.
I was in a three-part harmony band called Mountain Man. We traveled America and Europe and Australia.
They're very good.
Thank you. And I was based out of New Hampshire and Brooklyn during that period of time, in Vermont.
You must be some kind of holy father, son, and father only son. I grow 1,000 feet tall, I grow 1,000 feet, I fall 1,000 feet, I rise like sun. I'm sad, I'm lonely, father, son, and father only one. You must be some kind of holy father, son, and father only son. I grow 1,000 feet tall, I grow 1,000 feet tall, 1,000 feet. I rise like sun, I rise like sun, and father, son, and father only one. You must be some kind of holy father, son, and father, son, and son. I grow 1,000 feet tall, I grow 1,000 feet tall, 1,000 feet.
And then we were hired into the band Feist and traveled the world that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I studied composition in school, where I, you know, kind of played a bunch of instruments not very well. And then eventually dropped out to start touring with the first bands that I was in. And I toured in different people's bands since I was 20, and I just turned 35. So I was kind of always playing in different indie rock bands and country bands and stuff like that when I was younger. And then I'd always been interested in electronic music, but finally really dug in on that maybe starting about 10 years ago.
I do associate you with a number of bands, Nick Sanborn, but mostly, I guess, as a member of Megafaun.
Oh, yeah. Embrace, be humbled by temptations that pain set fast. If you stumble, momentary laughs will soon be of the past. I played bass for them for the last 2 years that they were a band. But it's kind of half and half. I was a huge fan of theirs, and I was kind of just their touring bass player. So I feel hesitant saying that I was really in the band. Does that make sense?
It was more of a hired gun.
Yeah, it was kind of a hired gun. But I love them. They're amazing.
They're fun. They really are fun. And is it fair to say, Amelia Meath, is it fair to say that Mountain Man is or Mountain Man was?
Is.
Okay, good.
Mountain
okay.
Man is.
All right, then. And the thing about Mountain Man's sound is that it's this beautiful harmony that, you know, and you've heard this a million times, but it's true. It's otherworldly sounding. And so you come across sounding not necessarily like Mountain Men as much as you come across sounding like sirens.
Thanks.
You know, you
yeah.
really do.
Thank you.
You know, and there's this sort of built-in mystery, of course, to sirens.
Thanks.
You know.
Molly and Alexandra are queens of mystery. I am not. but I get to hang out with them, and they, you know, it feels like being amongst unicorns. And then there's me, who's mostly just living for as much attention as I possibly can get. Yeah, mystery's gone.
Oh, my God. And so when you're singing harmony with them, do you take a particular part? Are you alto? Are you...
You know, more often than not, I'm bass.
You're bass?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, but they're, you know, so I suppose I'm a little bit more alto-y in that the arrangements are much higher. But I sing, like, the bassiest parts.
You're bassy.
You do. That's right. I never even thought about that. You do kind of skew towards the bass parts.
I do. But I also had a really horrible cold when we recorded, so I changed all my parts to be low because I was very sick.
How am I doing? Hey, hey. Tweet, 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 twat, twoo. I said, how am I doing? Hey, hey. To your baby, your show. I ain't bragging, but it's understood that everything I do, I sure do. Good Lord, how am I doing? Hey, hey, tweet, 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 twat, twoo.
So
if you can do that, it doesn't seem such a far leap to find common cause with Nick Sanborn's aesthetic, because he's played with all kinds of groups that also borrow from the same kinds of traditions that Mountain Man borrows from, that also sort of cleaves toward a very sort of modern approach to making a song, not just a song, but a soundscape.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's an honor to hear. Most people don't really pick up on the strange postmodernism of Mountain Man. But I think it's quite true. Or I think that's one of the things that makes Mountain Man so punk. And naturally makes it very easy to work with someone as flexible and as soundscapey as Nick Sanborn, as Sandy.
Mountain Man is, I think, the most punk band.
We are the most punk band.
Punk! That is such an interesting, really...
I mean, in the truest sense of the word.
Okay, what is the truest sense of the word, Nick Sanborn?
Anti-establishment, following the, you know, to the beat of your own drum in a way that is absolutely singular and has nothing to do with anybody else's music. I mean, it's just like, you guys are really punk.
Thanks.
It's true, but your music has been that way as well, though. You know, would you consider your music punk like?
No, not
in
at
that
all.
Sense. No, how do you
not
see
the
it?
Same way? I don't know. I mean, I used to be. It's tough for me to have a good vision of what my music is. Several years ago, I was having kind of this identity crisis of trying to figure out, well, like, I like making all of these different kinds of music. Is this ever going to make sense to anyone else? And then after a while of that, I kind of realized that everything that I make, no matter what it is, kind of sounds like I made it, which I think is good.
Yeah. It is good. This may sound very old-fashioned, but to me it seems as if the main difference between the original folk music aesthetic that you all embrace at some point in your careers, you know what I mean, the sounds of Appalachia, rural music, and the music that you make today as Sylvanesso, what really binds it is this fact that you two are so comfortable with technology.
Yeah, I never thought about that, I guess. We are, though.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We talk about this all the time because we are 5 years apart in age. And even the difference in our experiences with technology, like in high school, is vastly different. We have totally different reference points for things, even with that small amount of time, just because in that amount of time, everybody in high school had a cell phone. You know, nobody in my high school had a cell. You know, it's like that was such a short amount of time, but it totally changed the culture of kids. I was just reading this essay by an English teacher today who started studying her students' grammar in texting and how, because kids don't talk to each other on the phone anymore, that they've just independently developed an entire language that we all kind of know when we think about it, but where a period means something different than no period, two periods mean something different than three periods, two commas can indicate unsureness, you know, all these things that like to indicate things that text doesn't necessarily indicate, sarcasm, uncertainty, humor, anything like that. This entire language has just naturally developed to suit that, made entirely by kids who grew up with this. You know, I just think it's like everything's shifting right now. And like the native technology natives are even now still constantly changing, I think.
It's true. And your identity changes from depending on what room you're in.
Oh, yeah.
And what your crowd is. You know what I mean? In this room, you're like the hottest, youngest, coolest, edgiest thing going.
It's the
right?
only room where that's true.
It's true. And then you go into another room and you're like Grandma and Grandpa Kettle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the realness.
People calling you mom.
I already feel old.
Which is a crime.
I do.
But the story goes that Amelia Meath, you wrote a song, Play It Right,
mm-hmm.
and handed it over to Nick Sanborn mm-hmm. and said, do something with this song. Do mm-hmm. something that, you know, put your fingerprints on this song. And he did, right?
Long last.
I was just hoping that he would do a good remix, which is rare and hard.
Why?
To find. Because, well, it's a strange
thing to ask somebody
to
do.
Yeah, remixes in general are strange. I don't really like them very much. With remixes, people are just like, oh, you're doing that in that song. I like this theme. I'm going to just make this theme bigger because you already handed it to me.
Or worse, I'm going to make it just sound like me and erase the thing that was interesting about your song in the first place.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting observation.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I actually gave the song to a bunch of different people to remix at that time.
Only one of them's in this room right now.
And with that, let's hear a little bit of it.
When the sounds come together so close to my face, it's no wonder we wonder what's taking place. Oh, I feel like an animal in the night. Play it right, play it right.
It appeared on your first album, right?
It did.
Sylvanesso. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It did. It took me a long time to give it back to her.
A year.
It's embarrassing now. But the reason it was so hard is because the magic of their band was held in with its fragility. Mountain Man. So every time I tried to start working on it, I felt like every time I added something, it was almost like subtraction by addition. Like I just kept kind of ruining what made the song special in the first place. And I all of a sudden realized, oh, if I use their voices as the textures in the song, maybe that'll open it up and I'll be able to find how I think it could be, you know, more of what it already seems like it wants to be. I had to like expand the quiet down to even more quiet and the loud to even more loud to figure out kind of where I fit in there.
And so does a remix automatically suggest that the person that it's a song to be danced to?
No, mm-hmm. Not at all.
No, it just means a reworking.
And you were pleased with it, Amelia.
I was.
So how did this one speak to you? More than the others.
It had, you know, I'm going to do that inarticulate musician thing, where you say it just felt good.
No, I understand that. You know, one thing that a musician said not long ago that was just beautiful was, I love this for reasons I cannot understand.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And that's what we're all searching, like reaching for when you're writing songs, is that feeling of magic.
And we will move.
That's Sylvanesso with Play It Right. Coming up, some call it a video game. Others call it a psychosocial visual experiment. Sylvanesso finds itself in a magical forest. Stay with us.
This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Our guests are the electronic pop band Sylvan Esso. On the road, members Amelia Meath and Nick Sanborn often turn to an indie video game that makes War of the Worlds sound like Dr. Seuss.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've heard your cries, and we apologize for the delay. Our research team here at Super Brothers has been preparing our latest psychosocial audiovisual experiment, a meandering mythopoetic adventure known as Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP. We have also been slowly preparing you for its imminent arrival.
Play the game long enough, and the name Sylvan Esso kinda sorta makes sense.
You are now among the initiated. We will meet again at the appointed time, when both day and night are in balance.
I'm just reading off the website.
Perfect.
It's music-inspired adventure video game that features, quote, a lone woman warrior on a tragic quest in a lush, haunted mountain wilderness.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Indeed.
How far have you gotten in this game?
I didn't even know that the warrior was gendered. It's dope. Yeah.
It's a beautiful game.
It's a beautiful game. Mm-hmm. It's linked to the cycles of the moon.
Yeah.
So it takes you a long time to level the actual moon. So you have to wait cycles.
Yeah.
That seems very feminine.
It's dope.
It's
really, really cool. Yeah. It's a great game.
And so you've gone through all the cycles?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Have you as
Amelia's
well?
Amelia's really good at video games.
That's
a secret of this, yeah. that particular game, though, is just, it's like a work of art. It's this beautiful... the artwork is lush while at the same time feeling very strangely ancient and digital.
Indeed.
The story is really beautiful and strange. The music is gorgeous.
The music's by Jim Guthrie.
He
did a wonderful job.
But in this game, I mean, there is a Sylvan sprite.
True.
There's not a Sylvan Esso that
True.
I know of.
No.
Right? Is Esso anything other than Standard Oil, or?
We just wanted a silly...
Sylvan Esso just rolls off the tongue.
It kind of does.
We wanted this idea of kind of a mythical creature that wanders around in the woods. And that was an idea that we were really drawn to. That if our band could make someone think of kind of a mythical creature that may or may not be real in the woods, hence the Sylvan, then that's kind of how we wanted people to subconsciously think about us, as this strange otherworldly thing in the forest.
You know, it's interesting because it seems like a lot of what the creators of this game talk about seems very much in tune with what you all as Sylvan Esso are doing, you know, in the sense that, again, this is from their website. We want to create a relaxed musical experience that would encourage people to listen, be playful, explore, and be surprised.
That's a nice thing
to say. That's a very nice thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, have you ever met this Jim Guthrie, this composer?
No.
I haven't met him, no. I'm friends with his friends.
No, Well, I think an interesting thing about video games right now, especially deeply independent video games like that one, which is made by a very small number of people, and music, is that we're all just trying to create this immersive emotional experience, and we're trying to find the right way to kind of be heard amidst the din of stimuli that everybody is hearing every day. And I think there's a time when you can be heard by shouting, but there are more times when you can be heard by kind of lowering your voice. And that game does that particularly well.
You know, that used to be sort of an old-fashioned way where that women used to flirt with men, that you would, instead of, you would whisper.
Take it down a notch.
Yeah, into a man's ear, because then he would have to draw closer to you.
To hear what you had to say. There was a wink. Nobody, that wasn't on the radio. I just want to... Mm-hmm. It doesn't translate to the microphone.
IRL wink.
So there is a seduction here. You know what I mean? There's a bit of a seductiveness to what you all are doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Seductiveness is a part of life.
She rockets her thighs, she rockets her thighs, she rockets her thighs. Oh, lady, she don't know how she goes. She rockets her thighs, she rockets her thighs, she rockets like a babe. Hey, her image lasts, and I know she floats along as she goes. She owns the eyes as she flies right through the sound, moving her body all around town. Hey, mommy, hey, mommy, I know you are. I know what you want, I know what you want. Sooner or later, the dudes at bodegas will hold their lips and own this shit. Coming to terms on a shivery tip. But I hear her, she don't know the gravity she holds as she pulls on the eyeballs of all the kids standing tall.
Like a song like Hey Mommy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's just, it's like, it's a whole soundscape that makes me feel as if I am on the street watching this drama play out, mm-hmm. You know? Did you write that song, Amelia Meath?
I did write that song.
On the street.
I wrote that song because I was on the fourth floor in an apartment building in Red Hook, Brooklyn, and there was a bodega at the bottom, and there was a pack of men that would hang out there and just let all of the women of the neighborhood and the block know how much they appreciated them. Yeah, which I loved, which I grew to have a really nice relationship with all these men. So I wrote a song about it.
Nick Sanborn, how did you think about creating that scape?
I want to do that thing we were talking about. I wanted to put somebody on the street with Amelia. And so I walked around Milwaukee, where I lived at the time, and just recorded all those sounds and put that whole thing together. Just really as a way to have it just not be her bare voice, have this kind of world for her and her triples to live in. So that when the beat finally comes in, it's almost like that thing that I was talking about in Play It Right, where like the spirit animal of the song takes over all of a sudden, and the kind of soul that was in this person that's singing to you like expands out in every direction.
It's true, but there's sort of an emotional aspect to all of this as well. You know what I mean? It's atmospheric, but there's a little bit of a melancholy that runs through Silvanesso's music.
Oh, yeah.
Is that my imagination?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah.
Forever Bummer.
Oh, yeah. Our next record, Forever Bummer.
Forever Bummer. I know. Like, I hear a song like Come Down, mm-hmm. and I want to burst into tears. It's beautiful, beautiful song and all. But then I'm not, just like that quote I said earlier when the musician said, I love this and I'm not, for reasons that I can't understand, I feel the same way about that song, Come Down.
Thanks.
You know?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, that was another one where when she showed it to me, it seemed like the only thing to do was to just make a very sparse world for it to live in and let it, like, I almost wanted to create like a, it's like I wanted her to feel like she was singing behind the creek in the song, you know, and to be the creek that was kind of bubbling past her. It's like any more than that, and I think the song would lose its fragility, you know, that thing of a daughter singing to her mother.
Hey, mama, won't you come down? Hey, mama, won't you come down to the river to wait, to be? Hey, mama, won't you come down? Hey, mama, won't you come down to the river?
Musicians, you know, they achieve their sound by working around what they might consider to be shortcomings, something that they can't do musically. But when you're working in your world, Silvanesso, when you're working in kind of an electronica world with synthesizers, with computers, you can do anything.
Just about, yeah.
How do you make a decision when everything is at your fingertips?
It's kind of like how you make a decision when you're deciding what instrument to play. It's the same thing. We have, you know, or like as a musician, you can make a choice to play whatever you wish if you've decided to play.
We talk a lot about like trying to figure out exactly what the song wants to be rather mm-hmm. than what we want the song to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like we get to kind of a point where you add something and it feels like you made it foggier or you kind of obscured the message. And then you mute that and it immediately sounds better again. And then you kind of know that you're in the danger zone where it might be time to stop.
Yeah, it's like the Coco Chanel rule of music, I guess, where Coco Chanel would say, always take the last accessory off that you put on before leaving the house. Yeah. And so that's kind of what you're doing. You're like, you know what I mean? You're figuring out like what you could live without, what the music, what the song can live without. Because you have such a strong voice, your voice can do so many different things, Amelia Meath. And you also have this beautiful collaborator who can create this architecture around what you sing so well. Do you ever feel as if you're, that too much is going your way?
All the time. Yeah, I'm just waiting for death. Everything's going really well these days, so I'm not sure. I'm driving very carefully all the time.
That's fair. That's fair. Oh my gosh!
But that's the thing. I do feel this way. I mean, like I think arranging, engineering, those are things that you can learn to do. Writing lyrics and melody is a thing you kind of have or you don't, and I do not have it. And so I think when we work together, there's this really interesting push and pull where I'm trying to put on a pedestal the thing that I think is the most special thing about any musician, which is this indescribable, unlearnable thing.
But see, that the exact same thing is true in the opposite for me, or I could never do what you do.
Oh, this is going to turn into a whole thing.
But that's real, though, you know? Or, like, there's what you do is much more subtle. I just, like, say my feelings, and then you, like, move around them and lift up the good parts. And
I'm from the Midwest. I've been not saying what I feel and moving around what other people feel my entire life. You know what I mean?
Red.
That's Sylvan Esso with Die Young. Coming up, can a song capture a kiss? Amelia Meath and Nick Sanborn get nostalgic. Stay with us. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. Interviews get interrupted all the time. A microphone falls, someone has a coughing fit, or has to use the restroom. But when we spoke with Sylvan Esso, a parade passed our studio here in New Orleans, complete with a brass band.
It's a wedding.
It's a wedding?
It's like a wedding. Oh, my word.
It's fun. I love it here. Great.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's the best.
That was very, very on brand for the tourism board.
It was the perfect segue to the Sylvan Esso song, Parade With Me.
Speedy, speedy, slow down time, gas station is running dry. Sweaty, sweaty, wonder why, now it's always summertime. So go.
We just broke our interview to go watch people dancing in the street in their own parade, you know? But parades in many ways, and I'm not trying to make too much out of them, you know what I mean? It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It happens in that...
Very momentary.
Yeah, in that constellation
Temporal.
For
yeah.
that moment. And then in the next block, it's something totally different.
Mm-hmm. I love writing songs about, like, a series of seconds, you
That's
know?
That's interesting.
Instead of a feeling or a, you know... Or I've always found that the economy of songs that are about like a moment are much more interesting to me than ones about like a weekend or something like that.
But you know what could be one of those moments? And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but The Glow. I remember The Glow.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You don't have to agree with me if you don't really believe it. Because,
no,
but
well, yeah, that's totally true. In that, like, it's about walking home from a show when I was in high school. And those are all people I went to high school with.
Will is so tall, and Avi so fair, and Dina's so beautiful, pretending not to care, and I remember the glow, oh, oh, yeah, I remember the glow, oh, oh, in my headphones, after school and slightly stoned, I remember the glow.
Your music has a very, and I don't mean to sound patronizing at all in saying it, but it has a very youthful sound. I mean, it's young, it's fresh, it's, you know, I mean, it, I feel like it's energetic in a way that, you know, I mean, that bespeaks the now. But The Glow itself as a song talks about memory in this fascinating way in which you are, the singer is sort of presenting this idea of, I'm wistful for the past, for past innocence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you're innocent. You know, how does that work? You know, that, you know, you say something now. I've been talking about you.
I think that we're all, you know, everyone is instantly nostalgic for like periods of life the minute they end. And it's particularly being a musician, when you're trying to write songs that lift people up and make them lift them out of the muck and into something more ethereal and more full, you're reaching for what you felt when you first discovered music and you first realized it was a door into another world. And then that feeling really does, it's, you know, it's like when you first start kissing. And you're like, kissing is the best thing ever.
Ever.
It's the best thing, and I'm never going to stop, and it's so great. And then, like, after you've kissed a couple people, you're like, kissing's cool. And it's a signpost to whether or not they're going to be good in bed. You know, but it's
you
not
make a point.
Like the
and
kissing.
Thusly in my life. Yeah,
yeah, kissing, it isn't like the thing, you know? And it's the same. That's what that song is about, is the moment when you find music that makes you feel out of this world, when you find a feeling that you don't, where you know, it's the magic.
Also, is there anybody more nostalgic than teenagers? I mean, I think that was the most nostalgic part of my life. I feel like I'd be nostalgic for the previous week when I was in high school. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. I just wanted to get it over with as soon as possible.
Oh, God. I was
being a teenager was the worst.
I was so morose and, yeah.
Let me ask you this, though, about the limits of the kind of music that you do, that you perform live, I should say. Electronica or pops or synth pop, as it's also called, or, you know, anything having to do with harmonies oftentimes limit or appear to limit spontaneity on stage. In the kind of music that Sylvanesso has, you know, has produced, you know, when you're on stage, even though it looks like a rollicking good time, you know what's going to happen next.
I hopefully know what's going to happen next. There have been shows where I have not known what's going to happen next, and it's not very fun for the audience to watch.
That brings up the idea of musicianship in when you're writing music to be played by a computer. There are many different ways that you can write it. You can write it so that you can just press a button and then step back and just spend your whole time doing handstands and standing on the desk and hyping people up. Or you can write a really flexible patch like the one that Nick wrote, where he's controlling every sound that happens for the whole time. He's triggering everything. He's not just simply letting it ride.
Right.
You know, and he can augment every sound that's coming out of his computer, and he does, which is sometimes quite annoying for me.
It's really annoying, yeah.
Well, because he takes my voice and he samples it, and then all of a sudden there's like a little, like an annoying me in my ear that like I either have to harmonize with or move around, or like he takes it and like puts it into a reverb tank, and like, you know, so that's something that I'm constantly dealing with, is that there are multiple band members and they all sound like me. You know?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the way ours is set up right now, and it's probably going to change. But to me, it's not very interesting to watch somebody just push play. And it's also not very interesting to watch somebody try to be a one-man band and, like, play all of the things at once and hit all of the loop points and change the whatever. That stresses me out just to watch.
Also, when they try to pretend that they're making live sound, which they aren't.
I really want our records to be ones that you can feel like are just yours and your headphones, where it's very personal, and we get loud when we want to, but also that idea of it being an internal monologue, I want someone to feel like they have a direct relationship with what she's saying and what I'm playing. And then when they come to the show, that they can look around and realize, like, oh, I'm not alone. We are all here together. We all have this really complicated thing, and we can experience it together. I think that's, you know, it's nice to have that kind of duality, I think.
And what do you want to look like on stage? And because I can tell you what you do look like, and then you tell me that you're going for that.
The absolute opposite of what we actually look like.
Right. See, Amelia Meath, you look like a sea plant.
Thank you.
A sea plant, in a very interesting tide when on stage. You're moving in this really sort of beautiful undulating way, right? Nick Sanborn, you look like a really motivated sous chef.
I thought you were gonna say the blow up guy outside of a car dealership.
You're a little bit bent over your machines and everything, but you're moving in this like really happy way. Like you're really happy to be doing exactly what you're doing.
I tried to a couple of years ago, after not being able to watch video of our band anymore. I tried to, like, tone it down, and it made it, like, worse. I think it was, like, I just felt, like, so strange. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do what comes naturally and never watch footage, and that's just how it's going to be.
Yep, and that's what I do, too.
Yeah.
And it's clearly working. Your audiences are getting bigger and bigger. You know what I mean? People are really responding to Sylvanesso. You know?
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, I mean, that's pretty great. And
it is pretty great.
I have to say, the one thing that I would wish for you is that we've got to find a different name for this damn genre.
That's your fault.
Folk electronica. I hate synth
Let's
pop.
Let's just say pop.
It's just pop music.
Yeah.
Everyone really wants to talk about how we're an electronic band. I don't know why. Because it's a pop band, you know? Same as the music that we used to make beforehand. It's folk music. Folk music is the original pop music.
It kind of is.
It totally is.
See, this is what I want. I want to rename this category. Not the Great American Songbook, but the Great American. What?
I thought
song
it was...
soundscape. The Great American Soundscape.
Ooh.
That's what I want to rename
I'll
your category.
It.
Yeah.
I like
when
that.
When you get your Grammy, okay? I wanted to say that. The
well,
Great
we're,
American
we're
soundscape.
In the electronic category this time, but maybe next year.
Yeah, when there's a Great American Soundscape category.
It'll be great. We'll win because no one will know that it's there. We'll be the only ones who apply.
Yeah, they'll just be confused.
Yeah. But, you know, but yeah, I think that'll be nice.
Awesome.
But I tell you what, thank you so much for being with us. Amelia
Meath
and Nick Sanborn or Sylvanesso. What song would you like to go out on?
Oh, let's do Rewind.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Justin Armstrong, Flawn Williams, Garrett Pittman, and Lars Howell. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. For more information about Sylvan Esso and a complete playlist of the songs in this hour, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Pinkalope Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Designs, Shop Nadine Blake, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax deductible, thanks to our partnership with National Performance Network. For more information about how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support. Watch them dig in.